Hello, friends. Welcome to part two of episode one of the Women of Colored Empowered show, hosted by Kimberly Lee Miner, CEO of the Women of Color Retail Alliance. I am Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show on the Incandescent Radio Network and incandescent.tv, where we bring you fascinating interviews by entrepreneurs around the country. Our favorite question, what's your story? Today, we are thrilled to bring you part two of our first episode of the Women of Colored Empowered show, where I have the privilege of interviewing Kimberly. She has so many wonderful things to say, we had to break this into two parts. And of course, as always, you can listen to it on our channels and iTunes, Spotify, and iHeartRadio, where Women of Color Retail Alliance has their own show. So Kimberly, let's get started. Part two, episode one.
It was really funny. Because I posted on LinkedIn, like, this is my first day of school. You know, it's been a long time since I've been able to say that, and, you know, videoed my path to the campus. And I got so many people who DM'd me and said, oh, I've applied several times. Can you put a word in for me? Like, how many times did you apply? And I didn't mean it in a flip way, but I was like, you can apply? Right? And they were like, Yeah. What do you mean you can apply? I said, I didn't apply. I can't help you. I don't know what that process looks like, because it really was based on getting to know people and relationships. But I mean, those students, they keep you on their toes. And like today was such a great day. I'm teaching them and I'm really spending a lot of time. There are 9 elements to building a brand strategy. Your target audience, to me, is the most important element of that. And you should spend most of your time there. And so I'm teaching them about customer-based brand equity, because that's what really builds the value of your brand. Like, people think equity and they think numbers, dollars, right? But it's not about that. It's about the emotion and how far a person will go for your brand. And you want someone that has that emotional, and it makes them feel a certain way, or it makes them see themselves a certain way, but it's all about that connection. And I have spent the last 4 classes talking about that. So today it was about, okay, so your brand, it's smoke and mirrors, right? Like, you're delivering a promise, but how are you doing that? And how does that aesthetic and that design, how does that grab a person as part of this connection that makes you a part of their life? And so the conversation today was so good. It was just so rich. And that's what I love. Like, I love about that. And then after class, you know, the kids are all around, oh, Professor Miner, can we ask you this? Can we ask you this? And, you know, and I know that they're like, she's a little kooky, because I talk to them all the time about their grades. I'm like, could you please stop texting me? I mean, and emailing me about your grade. Someone missed the class, and I grade on attendance and participation, because in a class like marketing, that's where most of the meat is. And she was sick, and she came to me and she's like, oh, what am I going to do? My grade is down. I said, well, you haven't had an assignment due. She said, what do you mean? I said, so there's nothing you can do, because the only grade that's in is about your attendance, and you missed a couple of classes. I said, so why are you worrying about your grade? Like, your grade's not going to come with you, especially about your attendance. I know you're sick. I know you were sick. And she's like, but it took my grade. I said, it took your attendance grade down. But you're going to have so many assignments, and 2 big, big assignments. Please don't talk to me about that. So she was like, well, I can't do extra. No, you cannot. I said, I want you to learn. Don't worry about that. Like, if it comes to when I'm grading and you've gotten A's on everything, and that because you were sick, it brought you to a B, I will not give you a B. I promise. As long as when you're here, you are like a part of it, part of the conversation. And she's like, really? I said, yes. Like, why would I hurt you? Like, why would I hurt a graduating senior? Flip side of that, though, last semester, I think this is funny. I don't know if anybody else does. Last semester, it was the week before the big midterm projects that were due. And I had a student who came to me. It was a week before they were due. Like, they were making presentations the following week. I just want to reinforce that so you have a picture. Came to me the week before it was due. And he said, Professor, what group am I in? And these are group projects. So I said, what? And he said, what group am I in? I said, oh, are you... is this a joke? do you want me to laugh? Like, is this just... He's like, no. I said, so you have done nothing on the project? And he walked away, right? Because then I don't think he thought I like, and so fast forward, because he got a zero, because then he didn't come to the presentation and he hadn't done anything. His group came to me and I said, don't worry, I know. And then he came to me at the end of the year and he said, Professor, I'm not going to graduate. So I said, why? Why? Well, because I didn't pass your class. So I said, okay, and why didn't you pass my class? And he's like, well, you gave me a zero. I said, and what did you do? Like, what did you, you came to me the week before the program. Like, you know, I know you didn't do anything. And he's like, well, I had COVID. And I said, well, here's the thing. When you make up excuses, you have to remember them. I said, because you told me that you missed the presentation because you had COVID. You didn't mention anything before. So I'm assuming that's a zero. He's like, well, I did one slide. I said, how many points do you think you should get for the slide? Because there were 62 slides in your deck. So how many points do you think you should get? If you could just give me 20, then I would at least have enough to pass. I was just start laughing. I was like, oh my God, this kid is crazy. Like, is this how you're gonna go through life? But it is, right? It is. And I think we've done a disservice. It's just fascinating. I sent a proposal to one of the deans at OSU because I just think that we are not preparing our young people. We've given them too many pieces of that puzzle and they don't have to figure it out. They don't know how to connect the dots. They don't read anything. Like, it's just, and I don't want to put them all in the same box, but repeatedly I see the same behaviors and it's all about a grade when reality is not about a grade. It's about how do you know how to do the job when you show up? And also, you're not going to get promoted just because you have the job, right? You have to understand, you have to communicate, and they're just not ready. And it's not their fault. It's just not their fault. So I'm, again, hoping I'm making a difference, but I talk about those things and I'm always explaining why we're talking about what we're talking about and how they need to apply it. So yeah, it's just another thing it's kind of like retail. Like, I didn't know I wanted to do this and I didn't know I'd be pretty good at it. But my son, who's also a senior in college, he had the same class that I'm teaching. He even had the same textbook. And he was like, oh, what are you doing? And I said, I'm working on a class plan for this project. He's like, you don't need a class plan. Don't you have the Pearson slides? So I said, yeah, I do, but they're so boring. It's just words. And he was like, Mom, my teacher who teaches this class, she uses all the Pearson slides. She just puts the Pearson slides and she reads off them. I said, well, that would bore me. And I'm the teacher. Like, I can't do that. He's like, so what do you do? I said, well, I have some guest speakers. I have video. We play some games. We do. He was like, ugh, I wish I was in your class. I was like, well, probably not, because you and I in a class would not work. So he thought about it for a minute. He was like, yeah, you're right. But anyway, so that's my teaching experience. Yeah, the end of the semester will be my first year and I love it. I
do. Blown away. Totally cool. Hey, you are so who you were when we met when we were 11. And so much, so amazing. And I actually think you should run for president because you would do an amazing job and we need a leader. We need true leaders in this world. And you are that. I want everyone to just absorb who you are as the host of this Empowered show, Empowering Women show, not just women of color, but just in general. And hopefully men too, right? We all need guidance.
Absolutely. I was talking about this last week, Hope. And someone asked me, like, why do you only focus on women of color? And I said, well, here's the thing. Our main focus is women. Because when I talk about the numbers, especially in the retail industry, because that's what I know, I talk about women. So if women are 60% of the retail workforce, corporate retail workforce, and they're 37% of the leadership, right there is a problem. It's a problem. And then if you look at women of color, which is Black, Hispanic, Asian, Native, I think Indigenous, five groups combined, we are 6% of that number. I think you can see that it's a woman's problem, right? Because until the 6% actually get parity, the whole number will not rise. It's impossible for it to rise. So that's the problem. Here's the solution. If all women have access, then all women will rise. Because here's the other number that everyone should know. When we start on that path, when I'm at the executive training program and you're at the executive training program, women of color are 18% of that number and other women are 18% of that number. So white women and women of color are at parity at the beginning. White women go up, women of color go down. And that's ridiculous. And in a consumer-based world, if the parity existed for women of color, that would be an additional $12 trillion GDP. But we'd rather leave it on the table, right? So I said, so it's not about women of color. It's about women. And we don't get there by FUBU. Like, that's not a strategy. I don't believe in it. It's just not. We get there with the right partners. And that looks very broad because everyone should be at the table with us, making the change that needs to happen because it benefits all of us. And it can't happen because FUBU, if we are only talking, if there are only women of color in the room, it's a party, right? But if everyone is in the room and it's all women and there are men there too, then it's a mission, right? It's a movement. And then we can make the change. And so I think what you're saying is so important that it is about, it's about us, really. It's about all of us.
Yeah. And you are an amazing leader and I'm your campaign manager. I'm sorely behind. You know, we need people to stand up and take responsibility to pull everyone else along. And working in an academic environment is wonderful. I think working in a political environment, we'll talk about this later, even better. We need leaders and we need women to know that they're supported. And that's the work that I've been trying to do through my communications company. And I think that we just need to keep doing it and not giving up. Like, you have never for one second given up. And on this show, I'm so excited to talk about that mind-body connection. So when your body is screaming at you, right? We need to pay attention to that. We're also going to talk about the fact that women of color die during childbirth at a stupid rate.
I have a story about that too.
All right. Eric.
My oldest son, I almost wasn't here. And I don't have time for that story today, but I'm a highly educated person and I know how to ask questions, and it's not about that. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Terrible. And they gave me too much morphine and then start screaming at me once they did all the work they had to do to get it out of my body to get me back to life. Like, I flatlined, and the anesthesiologist had the audacity to come in and start screaming at me. Why didn't you tell us? What? I never had, what? It's my fault. Okay. Then she tried to convince me that I was allergic, but I later found out I'm not allergic. They gave me too much.
Crazy and not okay, right? And I think that if we can stand together and hold hands through all of this and speak out, then, and we're going to do it more and more, right? At 60?
Oh, absolutely.
Right? We're not afraid. I don't think you were ever afraid. I was never afraid either.
No, we were not afraid. And I want to talk about imposter syndrome because I just think that is the most ridiculous. Like, all these marketing buzzwords that they throw at women and we take them on. Imposter syndrome, work-life balance. Like, there's so many. I look forward to all of those conversations.
Kimberly, I am so impressed and enchanted by your ideas and insights, not to mention your powerful experience as a leader in the retail industry. Dear audience, I know you got as much out of this as I did. Again, I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, producer of the show on the Incandescent Radio Network and incandescent.tv. And as I said earlier, you can also listen to the podcast on the Women of Color Retail Alliance shows on iTunes, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Be sure to tune in for our next podcast, episode 2, which is also a 2-part series featuring fashion industry executive and CNBC correspondent Sandra Campos. Thank you so much for your time and support, Kimberly. And again, dear audience, be sure to check out the Women of Color in Retail Alliance at www.wocretailalliance.org. As always, thank you for being part of our family. Be incandescent.